Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Yep.
It is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. Welcome in. Good morning, friends, yinzers, countrymen, to another edition. Episode 63, in fact. Dermoni Dawson. Episode 63 of Cabali and Mac, alongside veteran Steelers reporter and correspondent for the Pat McAfee Show, Mark Cabali. I'm just some dude in his basement with a microphone, Chris Mack. We welcome you in, though. It's presented by the Dan Heck Team, heckteamhomes.com, the key to your next door. Stopped in the office yesterday. Everybody was very busy selling houses and buying houses in some cases. That's what you're, if you're doing either one of those in the Pittsburgh area, they're the people to go with. The Dan Heck Team, H-A-E-C-K, heckteamhomes.com, presenting sponsors of Cabali and Mac. Make sure you're following us on X, on Instagram, on Facebook, on TikTok, at Cabali and Mac. And, of course, on Twitter, close to 1,700 subscribers now. When we get to 2,500, we'll give away that beautiful autographed Paul Skeens baseball, thanks to our good friends at First and Goal Collectibles at South Hills Village Mall. Check them out online, everything they got, firstandgoalsports.com. It's happened. It's done. It's over with. Now we can stop wondering and we can start talking about what Aaron Rodgers as Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback looks like. Kaboom. It's official. Official.
I thought you were doing the little bit of a boxing talk. Remember when George Foreman knocked off Michael Moore? It happened. It happened.
You think Moore took a dive? I know lots of people from the Valley that believe that.
Maybe not taking a dive, but maybe left himself open.
Did a favor, maybe, for a few extra zeros on the end of the check, maybe?
I don't know. I mean, growing up in the Mon Valley, I met Michael Moore once when I worked at Little Caesars. And I had him sign the back of a cardboard box. I had that somewhere. I wonder where it's at.
You need to find it.
Yes, once again, it happened.
We could make that a giveaway. A signed Michael Moore pizza box.
He spelled heavyweight wrong.
Manesson Area School District had its finest at the time. Now, that's just priceless. Aaron Rodgers is the Steelers quarterback, and we could sit here and we could putz around and we could talk about Michael Moore autographs or Beanie Bishop stomping his feet on the Pitt logo. Maybe we'll get to that later. We could talk about a million different things going on in the world, but for Yinzers, for Pittsburghers, for Steelers fans, this is it. It's finally done. And I think there's three different, pretty distinct avenues to go down when we talk about Aaron Rodgers as Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback. And in order from least impact on what we'll see every week to most impact, they would be the atmosphere in the room around Aaron Rodgers, the room under the cap, depending on what Rodgers agrees to. Financial terms have not been announced yet.
I thought it was 1 for 10, by the way.
Is that official?
I think so.
Okay, we'll get to that in a second. I saw Rap Sheet mention something about that this morning on Good Morning Football. We'll let you hear what he had to say. But most importantly, the football aspect of things, the on-field aspect of things. Let's work in reverse order here between those big three avenues of how Aaron Rodgers fits in Pittsburgh and down on the south side, but not before we thank the good friends at Southwest Greens, southwestgreenspa.com. You want to get your lawn taken care of without having to take care of your lawn? Southwestgreenspa.com. What the hell am I talking about? Well, You're tired of having to water it when it doesn't rain. You're tired of having to mow it when it does rain. You're tired of having to pay somebody to spray fertilizer on it and all that stuff. Treat it. None of that. Get a beautiful artificial lawn from Southwest Greens. Looks great. Feels great. Good for you, the kids, the pets, whatever you got going on. Maybe it's the whole yard. Maybe it's just an area around the pool, an area around the kids' play set, whatever it may be. They will take care of you and tell you what they can do today. If you go to southwestgreenspa.com, tell Jake that Kabali and Max sent you. They'll get out there and they'll tell you exactly what they can do for you, up to and including, hey, you don't have to worry about taking care of your lawn this summer because Southwest Greens has got you. southwestgreenspa.com. Let's start with the atmosphere around Rodgers, what he's going to be like in the room. We've talked about this multiple times since the whole Rodgers storyline started to unfold. He's not necessarily a bad teammate. This isn't a guy who creates disturbances in the room. This isn't a guy who is typically ornery with the media. You know, he may be shifty. Yeah, I've been inoculated. He may not want to always answer the questions. He may not like the questions. But for the most part, in the room, around, more importantly, his teammates, forget the media, this is a guy that seems to get the best out of a lot of people. You look at the Alan Lazards of the world, and we can talk about that in a little bit, maybe. I don't know if that's realistic or not. But he seems to get the best out of guys. You hear people talk about working with him in the quarterback room and say, yeah, I learned a lot from working with Aaron Rodgers. Just in general, especially given the Cam Hayward thing, hell no, you either want to be a Steeler or you don't, back at the end of March. What do you think the reaction is going to be in the room to Aaron Rodgers once he walks in there and starts interacting with dudes on a daily basis?
Well, I think they're going to welcome him with open arms. I mean, everything I've heard from people saying that he is extremely a like person inside every locker room he's been into. I mean, maybe there's outliers from time to time, maybe last year in New York, but for the most part, he talks to everybody. He's cordial with everybody. So whatever you hear on the outside or what is presented in, you know, if it's the Joe Rogan podcast that you don't agree with, if it's, you know, the inoculation like you were talking about, that's different. I think once he gets in there, and once he will be there Tuesday, take part of minicamp, and players will be, you know, they'll be keeping an eye on him, even though from a distance, as long as he's able to perform up to his capabilities and he's a good player, they're going to love him. I mean, I think that goes with the fan base here too. As well as if he can make them winners, they're going to love him. If the Steelers become winners because of Aaron Rodgers.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This fan base is going to love him. I mean, that's just the elephant in the room right now, is we don't know what type of player he is, but they're going to welcome him with open arms. Why wouldn't you?
I'll be honest. I think you're exactly right in so much as if he wins and plays well more often than not, people aren't going to give a damn about ayahuasca or inoculations or Jimmy Kimmel or any of the stuff that gets thrown out there when Rodgers is speaking and people react to some of his ideas and his thoughts. You know what? He may be out there. I'll take that perspective. He's out there on some things, but there have been other players in this organization over the years who've been out there in different directions. Yeah. And I think this organization, and again, people don't like to hear this, but I'll give Mike Tomlin credit. This organization, especially under Tomlin, has always been able to handle big personalities. Look at Antonio Brown. That's always the prime example. And, you know, I don't think there's even so much as a ripple in the meeting rooms, in the locker room, any of that stuff when he walks in, other than, hey, we got a guy who's won 4 MVPs, is going to the Hall of Fame, has a Super Bowl ring. And yeah, he hasn't played his best ball in the last couple of years, but at the very least, even if he's only here for 1 year and they only win 9 games and they get bounced in the first round again, even if he's only here for that 1 year and that's the way it goes, I think guys are going to take the opportunity to soak up his football knowledge at the very least.
Yeah, absolutely football knowledge. But, I mean, it comes – if you look at the veterans of this team, the Cam Haywards, TJ Watts, I mean, you've been with this team for how long now and you really haven't won anything. So you're going to love this guy to come in here and to be able to – bring that winning mentality, even if it's just winning mentality of knowing what to do, what to call, how to act. I mean, I think that's going to go a long way here. Now, I think that could be stifled a little bit if the arm's shot and the legs are shot and he's getting pressured all the time here. But I think everybody's – I mean, I remember, wow, it was more than a decade ago when Michael Vick came for a year. Those players were like little kids in the locker room. Oh my goodness, it's Michael Vick. I used to play, you know, I used to watch him growing up. I played Madden with him. I mean, maybe not to the degree of Aaron Rodgers, but a lot of these guys probably grew up, you know, in their formidable years of football watching Aaron Rodgers. Now you have him here to be able to be a part of your team. And if you're Cam Haywards, TJ Watt, and he give you an opportunity to win here, you have to love it. Like I said, I'm still a little skeptical of how much is left in the tank. I think we'll be able to figure that out quite quickly, but I'm willing to take that chance and see. I mean, let's see what he can do here. And if he is able to, move the offense, score some points, then that this is all good stuff here. So I don't know why people are so upset about this. And you said some people, you know, some players are out there, he's out there. Now, some people might, that might be a point of perspective too. You know, I might think the guy that spends 12 hours a night playing video games and just waking up and going to the facility might be out there a little bit. I mean, you might think that, you know, darkness retreats are out there. I mean, it's all perspective, right? So, is it crazy? Yeah, it may be crazy that he talks about it. Imagine some of these guys, what they do, we don't know about, you know, in their downtimes. I mean, we don't know about
it. Right. I mean, look, I've always said a football locker room and just the building in general, it's just a slice of society, man. You're going to get somebody, you're going to get people from every walks of life. Like you said, you're going to get a guy who'd rather stay up till 3 a.m. playing Call of Duty than maybe being on his iPad and getting to bed at 11 o'clock. You're going to have guys who go on darkness retreats and try ayahuasca. You're going to have, you know, like you said, and everywhere in between on that spectrum, you've got people in the middle somewhere there. So I don't anticipate, and I never really didn't think it was a part of it, that he would be some sort of disruption. I don't, other than, you know, okay, walking off the field on Tuesday. And I don't know if they'll do it on the field, if they'll do it, you know, against the backdrop underneath the overhang there, or, you know, in the upstairs or down the, in the media room, wherever it may be. Aaron Rodgers will meet with the media, right? Okay. It, maybe for the other 50, 60, 70 guys walking off the field, they go, oh, yeah, there's more people here than usual. But that's not going to be a distraction or a disruption. And I think it will be interesting. The only thing I would wonder, and again, Mike Tomlin always handles this well, is there how much treatment does he get? And I don't mean medical treatment. I mean, you know, is he going to practice twice a week during camp? Is it going to be every day? Is he going to be out there? Because I did bring up the chemistry issue the other day and just getting ingrained into the Arthur Smith offense and meshing those concepts. It's going to be interesting to me to see how much work he puts in and how many veteran allowances, I guess, he gets from Mike Tomlin. He's never had a problem with that, Tomlin, giving that to more veteran players. And I don't think it'll be a major effect on things, but I'm curious to see how they work it out.
Well, they do it now all the time. I mean, you won't see TJ Watt, even if he was signed and not potentially doing the hold in, he's not going to practice, nor should he. You've seen Samalu on the south side, but he's not going to get in there and participate. Haywards does stuff from a little bit from here to there. You got to preserve these guys, but you have to balance it with Rodgers of getting to know his personnel around him and getting to know the chemistry with him. But you can do that in a training camp setting without putting the guy at risk too. You just go out there and, I mean, you throw a million different balls, you know, during warmups and during individuals action, seven on sevens. And I don't think there's going to be any problem whatsoever. What did he miss here? He missed six OTA practices that are about 90 minutes long. If you're lucky, not one, well, one team period per, and it's basically just throwing on air. So he's not really behind, because that's where he would have been anyway. So he has plenty of time to get in, you know, the July 23rd sort of training camp.
Yeah, you think he choppers in like you think he choppers in on July 23rd like AB did that one time? How's he show up?
They don't do that much anymore, do they?
No, it's no fun anymore, to be honest.
Well, the chopper was, I think that jumped the shark for AB. Some of the players are like, what? You know,
some what the hell are we doing?
What the hell's going on up there? It's like AB, and one guy said, what an asshole.
We'll see if we get any murmurs of that under people's breath when and if Rodgers does something crazy.
I'm more worried about how he throws the ball and gets acclimated to the Arthur Smith and meshing that more than, you know, how he's going to talk to the guy next to him in the team meetings.
So I want to get into that in a minute, but I do want to touch on the effect on the cap, because there's still a wide receiver spot on this roster that needs to be filled out. Gabe Davis was in town yesterday visiting with the Steelers. People are going to theorize about Alan Lazard and Romeo Doubs and all his former Packer teammates. Financially, this is what Ian Rappaport had to say this morning on Good Morning Football.
Firm and final financial terms, Aaron Rodgers said on the Pat McAfee show, he would play for just $10 million. That's what he told teams. I actually would expect the base to be probably somewhere around there with some incentives to get a little higher. It is not going to be a big money deal. That is not what it is about. It is about finishing Rodgers' career right. For the Pittsburgh Steelers going deeper into the playoffs, all sides hope that is now the case with Rodgers officially landing in Pittsburgh.
So if you go to Spot Track, it says they've got about $32 million in cap space right now. If Rodgers does, in fact, kaboom, sign for that $10 million number that he threw out there on Pat's show last month, that it sounds like will be the number, that still gives them a good amount of wiggle room to go out and add that wide receiver. I mean, you could add Gabe Davis and still have plenty of room. I know they like to have a handful of million dollars left over just in case things should happen during camp and during the season. But this, I think, if he comes in at that number, at that $10 million number for 1 year, gives them the wiggle room to not just extend TJ, and maybe it's not as much of a squeeze, to not just go out and get a wide receiver, but it opens them up to moves going into training camp that can really impact, I was going to say, the offense, but both sides of the ball for that matter.
I mean, they got a couple guys they can restructure too. I mean, they've been trying to stay away from that the past year or two, but that's always a possibility. I believe Highsmith, and I believe maybe Boswell. I can't really remember the couple that you can add a decent amount of cap money by just restructuring them, and that doesn't, you know, it just doesn't hurt anybody right there. So the money is not going to be an issue. I think more it's going to be who they choose, who they pick. They need to upgrade the wide receiver room. They need to add somebody there. And I think eventually they will. I don't think it will be Gabe Davis. I just got the feeling when I was there and people talking the other day that he just came in for a visit. You know, a complimentary visit, like a mint on your pillow.
Ooh,
maybe I might
They gave him the pity date, the pity invite.
Maybe they were just trying to give him the once over because of that knee. But I don't know how aggressive they were in trying to sign him. So I think they move on from Gabe Davis.
So
hear from him again.
Okay, that leaves the options. Maybe. That leaves the options of Keenan Allen. We've talked about Amari Cooper. There's another name that's been floated out there because he's not happy with his situation down in Washington. Terry McLaurin is going to be 30 this year. If he hasn't already turned 30, I'd have to look at his exact birthday. But he's not happy with how contract negotiations are going in Washington. Now, there's a very good chance this is similar to the Jonnu Smith situation we talked about a couple days ago. Guy unhappy with the offers coming in from his existing team on a contract extension. We're going to negotiate a little bit in the media and publicly put some pressure on the team to give me whatever I want. And that's probably more than likely the way it goes, both in Miami with Jonnu Smith and Washington with Terry McLaurin. But there is also the outside chance that a team with a bunch of draft capital next year who has the cap space, who, yeah, granted, just spent a ton of money on a wide receiver this offseason and DK Metcalf, could look at it and go, hey, that'd be a hell of an upgrade for the future Hall of Fame quarterback we just signed to go from Pickens and some dudes, Austin, Wilson, everybody else, to Metcalf and McLaurin.
Yeah. The only thing I worry about there is that Brandon Ayuk situation last year really soiled me, so to speak, because, I mean, McLaurin could be just playing this game of wanting the contract extension and how long you wait. Okay, we're going to trade for him. Oh, by the way, I'm re-signing with Washington, and now I'm left in the cold. Yeah. I would be a little bit hesitant about that. I would need to have that pretty much locked up beforehand. I wouldn't get to September or late August to do that. I think a guy like Keenan Allen, once again, I don't know how much he wants. I don't even know if he's interested in playing. And I know he plays the slot guy, but you can move those guys around. A possession guy that is a first down machine, I think you need in this offense right now. I mean, you got DK Metcalf, who might not be the best deep ball threat, but he's a doggone good catch and run guy.
I don't mind him as a deep ball threat either.
Well, you know, you do some of those slants. I mean, the infamous one was when Rodgers and Metcalf were out in L.A. and you saw that quick slant. I mean, those are ones that he can take to the yard. But I want the possession type of receiver more than anything else, a guy that can move the change. And Keenan Allen had a pretty good doggone season last year. I know he's getting old and this, that, and another, but that's a guy that I think would fit in nicely. Who knows how much he wants? Who knows if he wants to play? But I think they need to add to it, regardless of how Robert Woods is looking. What they call him? I don't even know what they call him now. Bobby Trees.
Wait, that's his nickname, Bobby Trees?
Bobby Trees, right. And Roman Wilson's looking really good, and Calvin Austin's looking really good, but they're looking really good in OTAs. So they can't fall into that trap that they did last year. Felt comfortable. Hey, well, these guys aren't that bad. Nah, I think they need the upgrade, and I think that's the next step. I hope it's not Alan Lazard. You know, I think I will set my sights a little higher than that, maybe.
Look, but
all of a sudden you got instant chemistry there too. So there could be some benefit there.
Maybe the list. I didn't realize. Like, I knew they'd been attached at the hip. I didn't realize they'd never been on different NFL teams, Lazard and Rodgers. So I wouldn't be shocked, but I would be disappointed, to be honest. Not because I'm necessarily out against Alan Lazard or have a problem with Rodgers influencing that move if it were to happen, but because I feel like the list of priorities at receiver should start with McLaurin. I think you should explore that as long as you can. Again, we got 6 weeks now until training camp. More than that, actually, like 7 weeks until training camp. So you have time. I understand, like you said, the Ayuk saga last year left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths. I would bet Omar's is at the top of that list. They thought they had him. They thought they had him at the very last minute. Bang. Ayuk pulled the move that Terry McLaurin could pull, right? He could get called up to the office, get offered a new deal, and it's like, yeah, sure, I'll take this. I don't have to go to a new place and explore all that. Or they could end up with a guy, forget a great number two compliment to DK Metcalf. You legit have two number ones then on each side of the ball. We're back talking about what we were when they first acquired Metcalf, and we were salivating at the idea of Metcalf and Pickens pushing corners and safeties down the field, opening up the middle for the tight ends, including Pat Freiermuth. If it doesn't work out, okay, cut it loose, move on to those other options that we've been talking about for months now in Allen, in Cooper. And if those don't work out, okay, as a fallback position, as a break glass in case of emergency, I need to add somebody else before camp. All right, then I call Lazard, or I see if I can get Dobbs for a low draft pick. But I, I'm I'm not, those are not at the top of my list. Top of the list is I'm making a move for McLaurin if I can make it.
Yeah, I don't even know what the money he would want, to be honest with you.
I mean, that's the one caveat with McLaurin is that you're going to have to give him a new deal. It's going to be a lot of money. I think you're probably talking something. I mean, what did he make last year? Let me look it up real quick. Last year, his cap hit was around 24. Yeah. He made 15, had a roster bonus in there in the mix. And, you know,
they wouldn't pay him more than Metcalf. So you would think. I still don't think. I think that's just too rich. Although they can get away with it because they're not paying a quarterback. I mean, one of the things we talk about a lot is how the Steelers are just, you know, in the murky middle with a quarterback, and they're just grabbing all these guys and hoping they stick to the wall. You know what they haven't did? They haven't paid many of these guys any money over these past 5 years since Ben either. So they're doing it on the cheap where you can get rid of them. And same thing right now. You're not going to have to pay a quarterback for
another 4 or 5 years. Yeah. I mean,
you look at their three quarterbacks. You got a sixth-round pick on a rookie deal. You got Mason a little more than four. And you got Rodgers 10. Once again, you're probably in the bottom third of salary when it comes to quarterbacks. So you can afford to probably go out there. And
you can on a long-term basis, I think, although you're now, as you've been over, you know, pot committed to the defensive expenditures over the last 4 or 5 years, you start to get tilted back to the offensive side, specifically the receiver position. If you're handing out big money to Metcalf and McLaurin, because McLaurin's probably going to come in at an average of 20 a year, something like that. Okay, so long-term, I don't think that's a problem. And to your point, they can restructure some guys this summer. But it does put a little bit of a pinch when you're talking about the TJ extension and how you make that fit. Maybe not next year, or the year after, if it's going to be 2 or 3 years, but this year specifically.
Well, he still has. What do they owe him this year? His cap hit is pretty significant this year, so it's not like it would be some crazy number this year. Where the crazy numbers come in is year 3 and 4 for TJ. So. He has yet to be around. He's one of the few so far, but I assume he'll be there on Tuesday as well. I don't think he'll be doing the old holdout. So, I mean, I think what we tend to forget too is I think the Steelers have upgraded their roster significantly from last year. And we're like, oh, just another retread, another old guy quarterback. They're still going to stink. They should tank. No, I think that they upgraded on the offensive line, just having Fatanu back. Plus, they're all a year older. They got more depth at outside linebacker. They got a better cornerback. They got a better number three cornerback. Their number four cornerback's not bad either. They got more depth at the inside linebacker position. The running backs are probably better. You know, I think as an overall team, they have a better roster than they did last year. So you can't discard that in saying, you know, wow. What's Aaron Rodgers going to do? Well, more than Aaron Rodgers, because I think they have upgraded the team a lot. Half this team was not around last year.
I do think it's an important point that's been kind of lost in everything else this offseason. We've talked about it plenty. When we talked to Ross Tucker, we talked about the Andy Weidel plan and how it's really started to round into shape the last couple of drafts. You start on the interior on both sides of the ball and build your way out. And they've rebuilt the offensive line over the last few years. They're doing so with the defensive line right now, taking Derek Harmon and Y.A. Black. So, and Benton a couple years ago. You know, they've rebuilt both sides of the trenches. They've got guys in more familiar positions now, Broderick Jones, guys who are healthy now, Faltanu. I think the offensive line is going to be better than it was the first two-thirds of last season when it was already, I think, playing pretty well. And sure as hell, a whole hell of a lot better than the last third of the season.
Just the addition of Fatanu makes him better.
Yeah.
Honestly, they do. And you know, Frazier's taking that step forward. So I think that's just short-sightedness or people not paying attention when they're like, what about this offensive line? One of the worst in the league. Yeah, they got some nice pedigree on that offensive line. And, you know, four of the five are just stars right now. And the other one was the 14th overall pick. So I'm not too worried about that.
Well, yeah, and if you can improve that much in the trenches, again, the Weidel effect, it makes everybody else better because you're controlling the line of scrimmage. And that's the most important part of the field, as the Eagles have shown us.
Imagine if they did keep Pickens, man. I guess it would be maybe counterproductive because of his way he's acted. But just imagine having a talent like that right now. Imagine having Metcalf, Pickens, Rodgers, Warren, Johnson, Freiermuth.
Yeah. That's why I think it's incumbent upon Omar to ride the McLaurin thing as long and as hard as he can, as long as he can, until he figures out that he's got to pull the ripcord and get away from it, that he's just having his chain yanked. As soon as he starts to get Ayuk vibes, he needs to get the hell away from it. But I think you go after it and you pursue it just to see if you can pull it off. You put, like we said, when we were talking Metcalf and Pickens. If you have Metcalf on one side and McLaurin on the other, you got two legit number ones. And you are going to pressure the hell out of those secondaries and open up so much room in the middle of the field.
Yeah, I think that's still a long shot pipe dream, McLaurin. I mean, I think
probably
a lot of things would have to happen correctly for them to get him there. Maybe Cam and Will Howard and Jack Sawyer and should go bully him a little bit.
Man, that's a lot of Buckeyes, man. A lot of Buckeyes. You mentioned the quarterback spending. I went and looked it up while we were talking. Right now, in quarterback, this is using cap hit, right? The Steelers are 31st in the league. That's before the addition of Rodgers. You add Rodgers at $10 million, if that's what the number ends up being, it only elevates them to 25th in the league in quarterback spending. So you have the cap space to do something everywhere else.
Yeah, and that's the thing that they've done in trying to find this quarterback, or at least get through this quarterback until they find another one, is they just haven't overpaid at all. I mean, you could be, you know, go grabbing Sam Darnold for $38 million bucks or whatever he's getting paid, right? I mean, and really blow your – no, I better not say that. Shoot your wad somewhere there, man. But I think they've been very careful of who they've handed the money to. And they're able to build out some other places right now. I mean, the bottom line is, if Aaron has anything left in him, so they're going to be good. If he doesn't, they're not. And Tomlin and the Steelers will look foolish.
And that's the final main thrust of this conversation. We talked about how he's going to be in the building and in the room. His effect on the cap, what other possibilities it opens up if he's only making $10 million. The biggest part of this conversation is how Aaron Rodgers and his ability and what he wants to do meshes with the Arthur Smith offense. Does it come together? Do we get Rodgers from, you know, the last, what was it, four or five games last year where he looked, sure as hell looked a lot better than he did during that middle stretch of the season. I don't think we're ever going to again see 2020 Aaron Rodgers. We're not going to get, you know, 2010 Aaron Rodgers, 2011 Aaron Rodgers. Like that's not out there. I'm sorry. It's not. Well, I think, 45 touchdowns is not out there. I'm just worried he cannot be the guy he was in his final year in Green Bay, where I think he was trying to do too much. And I think he was trying to finally come to terms with the idea, hey, maybe I can't do what I used to be able to do physically. I've got to find a way to manage the game differently. He can't be a double-digit interception guy. Again, it would be a third season in a row. He was a double-digit interception guy. Give me 30 touchdowns. That's all I'm asking for. And he hasn't done that since 2021 in Green Bay. But give me 30 touchdowns and less than 10 picks. I think that's a formula for a lot more success on offense this year than the Steelers had last year.
Yeah. I mean, the picks are the picks, man. Well, I mean, I sound like Tomlin there.
No, but like, this is, I get what you're saying. Like, hey, they happen. I totally get that. Interceptions happen. But like, this is a team whose lifeblood, who gains their oxygen from the defensive side of the ball. They want to play defense first. They want to win games 23-20. And if that's going to be your philosophy, you can't have your defense get off the field on third down, whether it's a three and out or you stop an 8 or 10 play drive in field goal range, whatever it is. You get off the field and then you get the ball back and it's your chance to do something and bang, the defense is right back out there, especially with an aging defense.
Yeah, you know, you look at last year and it wasn't a terrible season for Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he had better numbers than Pat Mahomes. I mean, touchdown interception ratio. I mean, he had better numbers than Jordan Love, Jaden Daniels. So it's not like he was totally awful. He was in a very, very bad situation with a very terrible team that I think he's made the most of. And once again, I said that he was hurt a lot last year, more than just that Achilles injury. So that has to be fortunate moving forward here as well. And for the most part, he's a healthy guy too. Other than that Achilles, he doesn't miss very many. He hasn't missed very many games over his career. So, I mean, I don't see how, if you're a Steeler fan, you look at this and say, this is the worst decision ever.
Well, I'll say this.
What are they doing? Just,
if you're a Steeler fan, think about it. If you're a Steeler fan, did you watch a lot of Jets football last year? Probably not, right? Like, they were playing the Jags and the Dolphins down the stretch. You weren't catching a lot of those games unless you've always got one eye set on red zone for your fantasy team or whatever. Especially if you're a Steelers fan that likes to go to the games. You have no idea what Aaron Rodgers looked like last year, except for what? One game. And it was in the stretch of his three worst games of the year when he came to Heinz Field, I'll never call it Acrisure Stadium, and looked terrible. He did look terrible in the Steelers game. And it was in that stretch where he threw more interceptions, six interceptions to five TDs in that three-week stretch when they got back from London. He looked bad. I'll just be honest. He looked bad. And that's what's locked in a lot of people's brains. And I don't blame them for that. If that's all they saw of Aaron Rodgers last year, then I understand that perspective and that worry of, oh my God, this guy is on the downslide. This is not the right answer for this year.
Yeah, that was what? Mid-season, early season?
Yeah, late October.
So he was still dealing with a bunch of stuff right there. So, I mean, I think it's going to be more than just his ability. I think he'll be able to bring a lot of swagger and confidence to an offense that may need it, to be honest with you. I mean, DK Metcalf is not a guy that I view as a guy that, you know, a rah-rah type of guy, a guy that's going to get the people to come out and play their best. He's just going to do his job and do it well. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a lot to be said about a guy who's 40, 41 years old, four-time MVP, Super Bowl MVP, to be able to come in there and provide that type of just moxie to the team. I think that goes a little understated in this all.
I get what you're saying, but I also think there can be a whiplash effect to that. And what I mean is, or a boomerang effect, where if he's the guy who's the most vocal leader on that side of the ball, but he's also the guy who maybe at times is the most underperforming, that a lot of guys are going to look at that and go, oh, here we go again. Aaron's going to try and get us hyped for this game. He threw three picks last week. Let's see what the old man's got in him this week. I get what you're saying, and I think it's valid, but I do think there's a flip side to that, that if things don't go well, it can get ugly too.
Yeah. Oh, there's no doubt about that, that it can get ugly really quickly, just for the fact that nothing he says, just, hey, I can't believe you wasted another season on this and $10 million. We could have just went with Mason instead and find ourselves in a very, very similar situation. So, I mean, we can sit here and debate anything you want about Aaron Rodgers and what he means to the Steelers and why they did it. If he still has anything left in the tank, he's going to be an upgrade. And if he doesn't, they're going to be in 8-9, 9-18. I mean, well, it is really as simple as that.
I'm curious to see, too, because there were some happy feet at times last year. Like, look, if I were 40 years old and standing back there in the pocket, I wouldn't want to get hit either. I totally get it. And one of the issues with this offense over the last, four, five, 6 years has been quarterbacks not wanting to get hit. Now, those were behind offensive lines, like we've already talked about, that weren't as good as this year's offensive line could be. But I'm curious to see how he can't be statuesque in the pocket. He's still got to be able to move around a little bit. He's still, is he going to go with, a lot of these play action concepts that I think could be successful? Is he going to necessarily have a problem when it's third and five and Artie Smith wants to put you know, a pair of tight ends out there and he doesn't have four guys out wide to look at in the formation. I want to see how those two come together is what I'm saying, Rodgers and Smith.
Well, it's mostly going to be what Roger wants, right? I don't think it will be exclusively that. I think Arthur Smith, this will open up more of what he wants to be able to do and, you know, give us the full Arthur Smith package. But make no mistake about it, in that meeting rooms on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, when they're coming up with a plan, Aaron Rodgers is going to say, we need to do this, 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 and that. And you know who should listen? Every offensive coordinator ever. To be honest with you, I mean, this is a guy that, I mean, maybe he doesn't have the physical abilities anymore, but he probably didn't lose anything in here of how to attack a defense and what is successful.
No, as long as he understands up here that he can't still do with this thing what he used to be able to do previously and with his legs, that like, hey, I get it, I'm 41 now, I can't quite sling it like I used to, I can't quite move around like I used to, but I can still do this. I might not get to here, but I can get about halfway there. And because the problem is going to come in where he wants to do a bunch of stuff that maybe he used to be able to do that he doesn't do as well anymore. And that's when quarterbacks get themselves in trouble, especially at an advanced age. I made a lot of comparisons to late stage Ben Roethlisberger. A lot of the problems that Ben had late in his career, especially after the arm injury, were that he couldn't physically do what he was once able to do. And it took a long time for him to adjust his brain to what his body was telling him. And Rodgers has to be able to do that, I think. If he can, yeah, okay, great. We've got some Arthur Smith concepts. We got what Aaron likes to do. You mentioned the upgrade in talent in a couple of different positions, especially DK Metcalf, Caleb Johnson, all that. Then I think you can maximize that talent. But if Aaron Rodgers still thinks he's 2020 Aaron Rodgers and is trying to run with concepts like 2020 Aaron Rodgers was successful with, I don't know how successful that's going to be.
I think where you'll see more of that is red zone. I mean, history says that Aaron Rodgers really likes to make some changes at the line of scrimmage. So if
he likes to ignore his offensive coordinators and play callers sometimes.
Well, maybe not that.
I mean, we've never seen that here before.
You put yourself in a good situation at the goal line, red zone type of area. So if you can do that, I can see a lot of that happening, but I don't think he's going to go rogue or anything like that. I don't think they're going to say, Aaron, you can't change plays at the line of scrimmage
like they told Russ
and Kenny and Mitch and
everybody.
Mason. I don't even know if they told Mason or not. So, I mean, I think they got enough time to figure that out. But you have to take advantage of Aaron Rodgers' knowledge of the game. He's been in it 20-some years. I mean, that doesn't go away. I mean,
yeah.
The physical ability might go away. And I still think he moves not bad for a 41-year-old. He can just, you know, shift the pocket from here to there, here to there, make a good throw. I mean, right?
From here
to
there. Like, he can move it about a foot or two. I'll still say this. Look, you're right about the mental aspect of it. I question the physical aspect of it and how he marries those concepts, right? So I don't think that I'm worried that he's going to have trouble marrying what his head tells him and what his body tells him. And I do think we're going to have to see how that works out, especially within the Arthur Smith offense. Look, he's still got bolts of lightning that he can shoot out of his arse from time to time and make things happen, much the way Ben did at the end of his career. When he couldn't do everything, he could. It's the old Toby Keith line. I'm as good once as I ever was. Okay, he's still got it in there every once in a while. I think you'll see it from Rodgers. I don't know if that's enough to make them more than a 9 or 10 win team. If everything goes well, maybe it's 11. But I think even then, that would require everything on both sides of the ball going right. I think this is still a 9 or 10 win team. Getting in on a wild card, having to go on the road to, you know, Baltimore or Buffalo in the first round, and we'll see where it goes from there.
Say it's a 9-10 win team, and they have to go on the road to Buffalo in the first round. Wouldn't you like to see Aaron Rodgers and his experience and see what he can do in that situation that maybe overcome some of the age appropriateness or lack of appropriateness that allows him to do that? So that's what I like. I mean, you can be 8, 9, 10 wins getting team, getting the playoffs. Now I got a former MVP that knows what to do in these situations rather than, no offense to Mason, but he's was his first ever playoff game a couple years ago. No offense to Russ, but he was just, you know, there was a lot of things going on last year. This guy knows how to win the big games. So isn't that the whole key to this all? It wasn't just getting the playoffs and win a playoff game or win two playoff games. And I think he's able to provide a better opportunity for that if you get in. So
we'll see. Get in and anything can happen. Just get into the tournament, as Mike Tomlin would say. We'll see where it goes from there. There's going to be plenty more to talk about. I'm sure if he does some sort of media availability in the next few days, it'll be interesting to see the kind of questions he gets and how he adjusts to maybe the healthy amount of skepticism.
Yeah, I
about what he can do.
I work with these people, so I wouldn't be expecting many in-depth questions.
What do you got for him? What's your first question for Rodgers?
Do you have Manny's yet? Hey, were you down on the strip last Saturday? Did you stay at the hotel or the Hyatt or wherever? I mean, I guess why? I mean, that's a big question. Why Pittsburgh? Another one, why such a long wait? I mean, honestly, I think we should take time to just reset here a little bit. Give me a pat on the back a little bit.
So. Yeah, let's acknowledge Kaboom, who rather than giving us the news directly yesterday afternoon, just gave us a yeet on Twitter and let us guess what the hell that meant.
Well, we were on the podcast 6 days ago. What did I say? Anywhere between Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
I'll give you credit. You called it in that regard.
Well, I think I should pull up the old tweet from March 18th when I said, boy, Aaron Rodgers really looked good in the Steelers uniform now. And I got destroyed on March 18th.
You're going to pull a muscle. You know that?
I mean, it's funny how people are really backtracking, like, oh, this was expected. And this was always the plan. They were always in conversations. And you hear stuff like that. I'm like, wait a second. 3 days ago, you're like, they haven't talked or heard anything about anything. I mean, it's just people trying to get their name out there. I mean, I could tell you, I mean, I've told you for months now that this was going to happen when it was going to happen. But whatever.
Okay. Are you done? Well,
I'm not even going to go there. But
you done? You good?
No, I'm just, I still want to get my, I still want some.
What do you want?
I don't know.
What kind of acknowledgement do you need?
Don't question my yeats. No.
That doesn't sound strange at all.
I mean, I was hearing stuff. I mean, I was asking, if you remember last year during the season finale press conference, I asked Mike Tomlin how Russ Wilson and Art Smith got together. It was a really stupid question. There's a reason behind that, right? And end up being because those two weren't really getting along. So me asking Roman Wilson, Cam Hayward and stuff, hey, you're expecting to see a quarterback coming in here soon. 15 minutes after I tweeted yeet. I mean, can we?
No. So let's, you knew, but you
well,
didn't,
you know,
you didn't you want
know.
To full commit.
With a guy of that level of notability around the league, unless the owner of the organization comes up to you and pulls you to the side and said, hey, this is this, I'm backing off just a little bit.
You're living in your fears.
Hayuk made a lot of people live in their fears last year. So unless I hear it from God himself, Art Rooney, we're going to talk around it a little bit, even though that it was pretty much known.
Yeet. Apologies to those that may have come to hear us talk to Josh Yowie about the Pens' new coach. He's at the scouting combine in Buffalo, I think it is.
Who goes to that?
What's that?
Who goes to that?
Josh Yowie. He's an accomplished Penguins reporter. And I think he's been tied up, and we didn't get to him right away when we normally would have gotten to him right just after 11 o'clock.
Maybe
so
I blew him off yesterday. He wanted me to come on his podcast. Now he was already committed to something else.
That's all right. We'll get him on next week sometime, maybe, and talk about this new Penn's head coach. And
here's the question. Agency. Does Aaron Rodgers show up to Oakmont next weekend?
Oh, that's a stupid question. Of course he does. Of course he does. Are you kidding me?
See, and everybody was telling. Now he needs a country club to join, right?
Just join Oakmont. Thanks to our good friends at Impact HVAC for supporting the show as well. 412-297-1852. Make sure the AC is tuned up and ready to go if you haven't already. If it's running and all of a sudden it's not doing so hot, have them out to take a look at it. When you get to wintertime and it starts to cool off and get downright frigid, you know who to call. Impact HVAC. Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook. They do a great job. Replaced our furnace earlier this year. The AC is running perfectly now that it's starting to heat up out there. Impact HVAC at 412-297-1852. We want to thank them for supporting the show as well. All right. So we attacked Rodgers from just about every different angle. I thought before we wrapped up, this might be worth talking about. This happened the other day on the South Side.
In the water down in Morgantown. Rodgers goes up the middle of the field and is picked off by Zadie Bishop, who is having a terrific game.
Drew some attention
from our friend Corey Dickerson. Hey, Jason Bishop.
All posted to Instagram a story of him rubbing his feet on the pit logo down on the south side. Corey said he would jump the front pass. Jason said, yeah, that wouldn't have happened if we were there. Get out of here. Beanie making friends and influencing people.
His cleats were clean, so.
The funny part is you can hear someone in the background say, bro, come on, grow up. And he doesn't care. He just keeps rubbing his feet on the logo.
In the wrestling world, that's a sign of respect to cleaning off your feet before you go into the ring. So maybe that's what he was trying to do right there.
I don't think that's what it was with the poop emoji.
They're not even in the Steeler with the pit side of the facility, but they were doing some network stuff of photos and videos, so they needed more room, so they went over there. And you know what? I mean, right, wrong, indifferent, whatever. If you're like Pitt, you're mad. If you like West Virginia, you're happy. Me, I'm a Beanie Bishop fan now because he could have just
because he stirred up the shit. That's why you like it.
Backtracked and said, "Oh man, I made a mistake." He'd be like, "No, I hate him. The hell with him."
I will never get the logo in the locker room thing. It's never made sense to me. Whether you're in a locker room and you're not supposed to walk on the logo, or it's okay to walk over the logo. I mean, I've been in rooms where they put stanchions, ropes around the logo.
That's what happened to the Steelers 2 years ago. Minka said, hey, we can't walk on this, so they put stanchions around it. I don't think he's had a turnover since, but that's neither here nor there.
No. But it's just silly. I love the fact, like you said, that he didn't back down from it.
He's got
every Pitt fan in their feelings now about it.
You know who else was there at the time? Our friend Mike Logan. I think he was chuckling a little bit too. Maybe I'm putting words in his mouth there, but he probably agreed a little bit. Maybe not what he did, but the old eat shit Pitt stuff.
Mike sent me a text, sort of like a little surreptitious picture from off to the side. He was eyeing you up. And I told him, I was like, you need to sneak up behind him real quiet and just whisper, watching you. I'm always watching you. Just to see how you would react. It's a big move by Beanie.
Oh, I just love the fact that he just wouldn't back down. I mean, at that situation, first, you could just, sidestep the media because you don't have to talk to anything. No, he's right up to him and says, yeah, I don't care. I hate them. They're terrible. And then all the Pitt kids are sitting right there. I don't know, because they were coming off the field as well.
Oh, so they didn't even see it.
Yeah, I mean, another thing is, I mean, Pitt has on the sidewalk there something about, you know, take the field, Pitt something or another. They all walk over that every day. So, I mean, it's a little disrespectful. Yes, he probably shouldn't have did it. He probably shouldn't have posted it. But if he did it, own it, and he owned it.
Yeah, credit to him for that. Last night, did you watch the NBA Finals, Game 1?
You know what?
That's a no.
No, I did.
Okay, did you fall asleep early and miss the end?
I fell asleep when they were down like 16 and woke up and they're like, oh, we'll see you back here later this week. I'm like, oh, they must have got their ass kicked. I'm like, what?
Hold on, we need the official Kaboom NBA minute countdown here.
So I didn't watch it.
You didn't watch it. You gave up. And Tyrese Halliburton, who is a stone cold killer, pulls it off again.
I don't even know how they got to that point. I mean, weren't they down like 16 in the fourth?
Yeah, hit a couple big threes. They came storming back. OKC went cold in a couple spots. They started locking them up defensively. It was this is what happens with the Pacers.
Sounds like a Mac minute to me.
What's that?
Sounds like the Mac NBA minute. Go ahead.
Well, one of us watched the game.
My kid
fell asleep on the couch. You fell asleep like a kid on a couch. Couldn't stay up for the end of the game. It was ridiculous. It doesn't matter. They could get beat for 58, 59 minutes. Or not 58, 59, because then they'd be in overtime. For 46, 47 minutes, and it doesn't matter. End up winning anyway.
Oh. You know, I was trying to get on the Pirate game, but not that great S&P 360 app's crap. So then I'm like, oh, the hockey game, the NBA game's on. Then I fell asleep.
Well, the baseball game was in a rain delay anyway. It didn't start till like 11 o'clock.
So I was
and they lost.
I was up at took the kid up to the fan five alarm fire thing, whatever.
Yeah.
Marathon. Got to play on the fire trucks, and he got to play Harry Callis's NCAA 11 game. He picked Penn State 82 versus Richmond.
How'd he do?
I think he lost like 26-0. At Richmond too, man. A tough place to play. So by the time I got back,
no one has ever said that in the history of sports, that Richmond a tough place to play.
It was an interesting day up there. It was only a couple minutes away, so he likes to go for free food. And it's funny. The funny thing about him is there was a lot of fans there, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Instantly recognized him, and everybody was like, oh, you're the one that blocks up the toilet. Every single one. It was great.
Was he proud? Was he confused? Was he annoyed?
He doesn't care.
He knows that his dad tells everybody that he clogs up the
Even
toilet.
Johnny the barber asked him about it.
That's great. You've built a strong foundation for your son of being well known in the area.
They're like
being a toilet clogger.
One guy says, "Hey, is it like poop and toilet paper?" I'm like, "No, it's just a big turd." I'm proud of the kid. It's like, you know, when he hits the home run or a double, that and blocking up the toilet's very similar.
Well, thanks to everybody for taking part in the fun today. A bunch of comments, people arguing, people talking about their feelings on Rodgers. We appreciate all of you chiming in. And we appreciate all you hanging out with us to kind of explore what Rodgers will look like as a Steeler, we think anyway. Both on and off the field. Going to take a long weekend. I'll be out of town. We'll do it again Wednesday morning after the first day of mandatory minicamp, Kaboom. We'll have, I would imagine, some official Aaron Rodgers comments at that point to talk about.
He'll talk Tuesday.
We'll see his first few snaps at Steelers practice on Tuesday as well. And on Wednesday morning, we'll be back here to break it all down. Don't forget that you've got to subscribe on YouTube. Yes, we appreciate the follows, obviously, on X, on Instagram, on Facebook, on TikTok. But become a subscriber on YouTube. Be one of the first 2,500. You'll be eligible to win an autographed Paul Skeens baseball from the guys at First and Goal Collectibles. First and Goal Sports out at South Hills Village is the place to go for all your memorabilia. And the Skeens ball could be yours if you're one of those first 2,500 subscribers. And then you don't miss anything. You're prepared for training camp, which starts on July 23rd and the season in early September. You'll always get notified when we're starting up new episodes. And, of course, you can go back and check things out after the fact as well. But thanks to First and Goal for the Skeens ball. And thanks to Ollie Yins for following along. Enjoy the nice long weekend, Kaboom.
One last thing here. A friend of the podcast, Mason Rudolph.
Keep your
head up. You'll get your opportunity. I know he's getting screwed here again a little bit.
I see.
Well, he knew, though. Come on.
He knew what the deal was when he came back.
He knew when he was signing what was going on. He knew that he was going to show up.
So we got to feel bad for him. There's nothing saying that Rodgers plays all 17 games. No. There's no guarantees there. So
No. I mean, but I don't think they pull him. I don't think there's any chance that ever happens this year.
He has four terrible games in a row with multiple interceptions. No?
In the history of Mike Tomlin pulling their quarterback because of that, Mitch Trubisky maybe?
Mason.
Well, Mason was facing something different there. But, yeah, they pretty – I don't see any – on any potential way that he gets – doesn't play 17 games unless he gets hurt. That's it. I mean, I think they just gave him the whole season.
We love Mason around these parts, so you're right. But he knew exactly what it was when he signed up for the deal. So no surprises or anything.
He is looking good, though. I mean, Mason's throwing a good ball. So put it this way. They're in good situation as him as the number two right now.
Good point. All right, that's going to do it for today's episode. Everybody have a great weekend. We will do it again, like I said, on Wednesday morning after the first practice of mandatory minicamp and the first few official snaps of Aaron Rodgers as the Steelers quarterback.
Where are you going, Mac? Where are you going?